Alright everybody, and welcome to the 90th podcast. I'm Nick Draper, I'm joined as always by the face of the BBC Sport website, Mr. Stuart Deakins, and this week we are simply looking at the run-in of the League One season and seeing where we think ourselves and our relegation rivals will end the campaign. But Stu, before we get into the nuts and bolts of it and look ahead to a couple of fixtures over the Easter weekend in more detail, we've gone half a season now without winning a league game. 23 matches. Now, if you think if that had been the first 23 matches of the season, you would say absolutely no chance whatsoever of staying up. I don't think a team has ever gone 23 games without winning a game of football and survived relegation in history.
No, it's unlikely, isn't it? It's unlikely. You're right. If we started that way, we'd be bottom by Christmas, wouldn't we? I'm sure we would have got rid of a manager earlier on that side of it. I think, you know, with Mark Bowen coming in, I think, you know, it's the right... Well, to be fair, Robbo was going back and saying, like, what, 12 cup finals and stuff, and then Mark Bowen come in and said, right, it's a seven-game league, which I think is the right way to do it in terms of breaking it up, because when you look at top level, 23 games, 24 in all competitions, that's really quite demoralising, isn't it? But if we look at it as a, you know, a seven-game league, well, I think we're, what, 3 points off the other teams, because obviously, what, they won the other week, didn't they, and stuff. So I think it's a way to do it. And you could even go now and say, right, it's a four-game league. You just try and do anything to take away the fact of the big picture, which is we have won for ages.
Not since December the 7th, Accrington Stanley away. And we really don't want to bookend this winless run with wins over Accrington. Because if our next win is Accrington on the last day of the season, it won't mean anything because we will be down by that point. We're unbeaten in two. There you go. Look at the positives. Got a point against Charlton last week and a point on Saturday. And there were lots of little things that came out of Saturday's game with Milton Keynes. Don't really know where to start. Should we just attack the game of football as it was?
Yeah.
Ignoring all the other stuff that goes with that fixture to begin with. And I said to Stu, I think coming into the last 15, 20 minutes of Saturday's game, my heart was telling me this might be it. We're finally going to get a win. We're going to get that little bit of luck going our way. But my head was telling me we can't keep giving up this amount of possession, this amount of territory. The ball was just coming back towards us the whole second half, and you felt the goal was coming.
Yeah, I'm similar to you on that. I was going to say I was confident, because I can't be. How can you be confident when you've not won at home? I think we've got two home games, two wins at home or something like that. So, and you're playing a team that's second in the league and are a very good team. But I felt the occasion helped us. Obviously, it's not a game that anyone else wants to enjoy or really anything like that. But I felt that the crowd made the atmosphere intimidating for them. And there was a lot of unforced errors. With that, in terms of possession wise, I think you're always gonna. I don't think any teams out possessioned them, if that's the phrase, this season. I'm just looking here now what it was, 68-32, which isn't that bad. I felt after a while they were starting to run out of ideas. It felt that way. I didn't feel they were breaking us down. Yes, we were. We were conceding possession and we were dropping and dropping, and that's always dangerous. But if you look at the goal we conceded, it's a hell of a strike. And it's probably the only time we switched off on a second ball. Frustrating. But what I would say is how we responded to it in terms of getting that point was really important. Because I think if you think about the games that we just had, the two games unbeaten, I think the second half against Charlton and probably the whole game against them, you can see performance-wise there's a definite improvement.
Do we not now have to switch, though, from performances against Sheffield Wednesday, Milton Keynes, where it was very much a case of stick men behind the ball and frustrate and stop them playing? We now go into a situation where we have to actually win matches. We have to win football matches. We have to go out and attack teams. And we're going to do it with another loss of a striker, Zach Robinson, out for the season.
Yeah, it is. You're right. Because you can set up to be defensively solid and not concede space in behind and stuff like that. equally though, all we've got to do, we've just got to go and win the game. Yes, if you look at the table, we've got a healthy goal difference against versus Morecambe and Gillingham. I think it's 7+7 or 1+6 on the other. But then we're +7. We're seven down against Fleetwood. So it's that sort of thing. If you want a 7-goal swing, because goal difference could, you know, it's so tight down there. End of season could be goal difference. If you want to swing from Fleetwood and us, you know, if we can go and win comfortably against Crewe and Fleetwood come unstuck, then we could have a swing where actually when we go to Fleetwood, the thing is at the moment we need to go to Fleetwood within 2 points, or if we're, you know, better goal difference, yeah, within three, because we've got to go into the final game of the season. We know historically we're dead old people of relegation battles, aren't we? But it's very much being in your control. And if we've got a home game, which is fortunate, against Accrington, but we need to be, you know, by the time we go to Fleetwood, we need to be able to go there and win and then control our own destiny for the last game of the season.
Yeah, we'll talk about the game with Fleetwood coming up. Fleetwood have also got a game against Gillingham in the run-in as well, so big fixtures. But just to keep on Saturday, we mentioned about Zach Robinson getting injured there. The equaliser for Milton Keynes on Saturday did come at a time where we didn't have any recognised strikers on the pitch, and on reflection, my whole thing with this is, the reason I say it is because for me there's an argument that the equaliser was an absolute worldie. I mean, I think Mark Bowen said it post-match, he said he could hit that 50 times and 49 of them, but the ball would end up in the stand, behind the goal, wherever, out for a throw and whatever. And then on this occasion, it hits the bar and bounces in for him. But that said, as I say, comes at time, we had no recognised striker on the pitch, no outlet, no one that was holding the ball up, no one giving us any long spell of possession just to break up the momentum. And you're going to get tired legs and you are going to get fatigued. And I think that's what happens with the goal, because you say the ball comes out, we don't press. It's Lewington was the one that gets the ball over to the back post. And I think that just comes from tiredness. And was that, I don't know how much not having a striker on the pitch at the time was that intentional, or was that just because Ethan Chislett was warming up to come on and Zach Robinson got injured, so it was Zach that had to come off as opposed to perhaps, I don't know, someone else that Chislett was going to come on for?
Yeah. I think you're right. When you're chasing the ball, you naturally don't use as much energy when you keep the ball on that side. But equally, I felt our shape was good enough that we didn't, because I was looking thinking how much energy are we using here, and I didn't feel they switched the ball great, if I'm being honest with you. I didn't think they pulled us out. I felt we kept our shape just straight and stayed in there. But yeah, I think we did need something. And we had our strongest bench for a little while, didn't we? If you think about what was on there. Nobody recognised forward, but yeah, McCormick, Chislett,
Cosgrove
on that side of it. I felt, you know, like the problem is like how winning games is difficult when you haven't. Because how do you close a game out? And how do you close a game out against a team of second that, to be fair, have beaten quite a lot of decent teams? So I think we were caught in between that thing of, there's a lot of times we just cleared our lines, knocked it, you know, miles and, you know, have it, that sort of thing. When really we needed that a little bit of confidence to just play through them, because they were leaving themselves wide open. But I think it's the story of our season. It's, you know, the forward line, we just don't have it. And of course we've now lost Zach. Well, people say we've lost him for the end of the season. I always find that very exaggerate, because the season's only 3 weeks old left to play.
Yeah, so he's out for the rest of the season.
Yeah, but it's one of those that, you know, like, what do you do? 2 games to go where he's out for the rest of the season. It just sounds dramatic. It's not. He's just out for a period of time, isn't he? On that side of it. Don't get me wrong, it don't help. But are any of us surprised? You know, look at the injuries we've had to forwards. You know, without selling them, look at what we've had. It's just like, you know, it's just been a season of, like, next season, right? I just want us to, our first signing, I want it to be a forward. Just anybody, just some record, not anybody actually, that's the lie. I don't want it to be anybody.
No, yeah. Yeah.
I just want us to be top heavy with forwards next year, because that end of the pitch, we just have, not had anyone.
I mean, Zach, the problem with Zach is that, as I said, we've brought him in out of the cold from non-league and we've asked him to play three games in a week, and he's 19 years old, and I think that's a huge ask. It probably isn't a big surprise that his body's said, do you know what, no, that was too much for me.
Yeah, massive. Can you imagine the challenges? He's gone from playing Hampton and Richmond, which is what, Conference South, is that right? Are they? Must be.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's gone from that to playing into League One at a very time. So that you're right, his demands on his body in terms of how sharp he's got to be and that sort of impact, because he's a very quick player. Yeah, is it a surprise that he's fallen down? Because that must just... And to be fair to him, I think he's done really, really well. He's come out of, you know, these three games he's had, he's come out with absolutely no... You can't question anything about him. And not that you want to look too far forward, but in my head I'm going, well, John, we're in League One next year, he'll be better off for that. If we're in League Two, he'd be even more better off because the standard obviously drops a little bit.
Mm. But also the advantage he had playing for Hampton and Richmond is that they've got two teams. So they've got 22 players, whereas most teams just have the 11. So, I mean, they really should be doing a lot better than they are, considering that huge advantage that they have got. We got a goal with a bit of luck. Was that a bit luck that helped us with the goal? It's a difficult one to actually see when you watch it back. You assume it takes a nick somewhere that takes the ball dribbling past the goalkeeper, but can't really see it. You have to, when you watch it back, it's difficult to pick out. But, you know, that I think that was a reward for a really, really, really good first half performance where we looked to take the game to them, got the ball in dangerous areas, created set-piece opportunities, and Alex Woodyard... his first goal of the season. How mad is that?
I know. And I think, do you know what I think? It was a result of us winning so many second balls. Sometimes you can go, why are we not winning second balls? It isn't luck that you win second balls. It's the fact that you fill areas. You know, realistically in football, it's going to drop somewhere. And it isn't luck that it fools you. It's the fact that you've got bodies around in the correct areas. And I think from the corner, they don't clear it. He keeps on the edge of the area. I don't know if it gets a nick or not, but the amount of bodies it goes through, it just P-rolls. But I think it P-rolls past the keeper easy because you can't see it. There's so many bodies in front of him. So it might have got a deflection. It felt better for it just dribbling in front of their fans. It just felt better in a way, like it didn't have to be a weldy. It could be the right... You know, we said before the game, and we said, yeah, we don't really care what goals they are. But they ain't got to be 40-yard screamers, have they? You know, you only get one goal for it. Well, that sounds a bit of, you know, you only get, you know, it doesn't matter if it hits the net at 30 miles an hour, it hits the net at 3 miles an hour. It still counts. But from your captain, I thought Woody was brilliant on that day. You want your captain to lead. And I think it's been difficult for him recently. I think he's been up against it. But I think he can see there's definitely progress being made. There's no doubt about that, isn't it? And I think we've got that little bit of belief that we've still got a chance.
Yes, I mean, we're talking about, and we are going to get onto the fixtures in a minute, so let's park that one for now. But just to finish up on this Saturday, so Andy Parslow's got in a little bit of trouble with the FA. They've put some charge against him for something apparently that was said, I think, in the tunnel after the game or on the pitch at full time. Something he said that's got himself in trouble with bringing the game to distribute. These things with Milton Keynes, we're always going to get things that happen in this particular fixture. Mediation. I don't think that's a thing because, as far as I can see, from my vantage point, whatever mediation means, it basically means we just do what we're told and we get nothing for doing so because I don't think anything's changed from what they're doing. We just happen to put a D word on everything and putting their badge on the scoreboard as well.
Yeah, we're basically lying on the floor and getting our beddies diggled, aren't we, really? Do you know what I mean? A light way of putting it. I noticed the PLC minutes have been released for January and February. I noticed that Joe Palmer, obviously before he left, didn't make much of a note in the minutes, but just did say mediation is still going on. That's it. It's been going on for ages. And you're right. I feel like there's nothing really, you know, in mediation, surely if both sides getting a little bit of what they want, well, I don't think we're getting anything we want. And it feels like we're the ones getting in trouble every time. From the FA, I don't think they can. They just can't wait to do something and charge us with something in this game. So yeah, the mediation is a joke, to be honest with you. And I'm not expecting any of it. And yeah, we have to bend over, to be blunt, and get taken whatever.
Yeah, I'm not happy.
No, I'm not either. I'm not either.
Been down this route on the podcast many times, but a game with and a fixture with them will always bring feelings back up to the surface. I mean, just their mere presence on Saturday inside Plough Lane was stomach churning, to be honest with you. But as you say, oh man, Lee Brown did an interview after the Plymouth game talking about people needing to show some bollocks. this football club needs to show some bollocks when it comes to Milton Keynes and say, no, do you know what? Sorry, fuck you. Whatever you say with us, we're not going to reference you by that name. We're not going to put your badge on everything. Tough shit. What are you going to do to us? Like, it's going to be a PR disaster if they kept on trying to prosecute us for these things, I think, against the wider football world, because everybody hates Milton Keynes. Literally everybody. Find me a neutral in this situation. There isn't one. You side with us, or that's it. Yeah. So I think we just need to grow some balls and say, look, sorry, no. Do you know what? I would accept doing all these things, like putting Dons on the programme cover or putting their badge on the scoreboard, all these things, if we actually had an admission from them or and a club statement that actually comes out and says, do you know what? We stole your league place.
Yeah, which we're never
going to do that. They're never going to do that because we're never going to get it. So what's the point in mediation? Like, what are we actually asking from them in these mediation talks? I can't see anything.
I must admit, the game winds me up, but I feel in time, and it's not saying I'm going to forgive and forget, because you know I won't, but in time, I just think they're just a joke of a club, if I'm being honest with you.
Well, they are, yes.
Yes, you're right, we do bend over backwards, and it's frustrating. I think Saturday I can't wait Saturday thinking, this game is just becoming a bit of a panto, really, in terms of everything around it. It felt that way to me, you know, from the football part of it. I thought it was a really good performance. I didn't really look forward to the game because, you know, the problem is if you lose against them, it's like you've lost 6 points or you've, do you know what I mean? It feels like really heavy. And I felt if we lost against them football wise, we would be in trouble. But coming out of that, a draw, it felt to me actually, do you know what? We've produced a really good performance against a good team and it's gone. It just felt like it. I don't know about you, but no matter how much we try and ignore the game, you know it's coming. It's one of those, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? And, you know, we were doing 9 years TV and we were restricted with what we could do because we, you know, in terms of we have to do, we can say what we want and we will, but in terms of what we show and that we had to have their badge on, which was frustrating. But I didn't want to think about it. You know, I had a couple of team going to me, what are you going to do? And I was like, well, just a side near a time. I just didn't want it over. I didn't want it to be on my mind any more than what it was. But now it's gone. We have to move on, but we've definitely got to sort out this mediation because I'm not bending over backwards all the time. It just feels like they're laughing at us. They sing a song, No One Likes Us, which makes me hilarious. Like, go to Millwall, if you want to be in Millwall, go to Millwall, never go with them. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just pathetic. Everything about the club is pathetic, but we are pathetic in a way that we just don't have any balls to stand up. And I understand that we're on a sort of like a suspended penalty, but no one knows what that is. It's just the EFL just trying to show some power and keep us in our little box. We've got to be a bit more, yeah. But maybe it needs to be a Don's Trust vote on it, you know. Do we not do it? And if we get done, we all take the consequences because as owners, we made that decision.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if a motion was raised and if a vote was taken, because do you know what
just
my gut feeling is?
Just not when we're bottom four, sorry, Nick. Just not when
we're... This can wait until after we've survived in League One this season. But do you know what, Stuart? If we were to have a vote in it, I actually think... If we were to have a vote to say, do you know what, we're just going to ignore these rules and suspensions and fines or whatever it is, and we'll pay fines, whatever it is, I don't think people would vote in favour for it. I think people would go, no, we don't want to be fined. That's just my gut feeling, but hey.
It'd be an interesting vote, wouldn't it?
It would be. We should put it forward. As you say, though, once things have got over this hurdle of trying to stay in the division, there were other bits and pieces that happened on Saturday. I don't think best win in the world. You can have all the we didn't have all the security in the world because it wasn't and never has been apparently a bubble fixture. But fans were free to travel as they wanted to and from the stadium. And flares got in from both sets of supporters and a little bit of naughtiness and what have you. And I don't think best one in the world, unless you actually lined the pitch with the army, I don't think you were ever going to be able to stop anyone from getting on the pitch or any little trouble.
I love your word, naughtiness.
A little bit of naughtiness.
Do you know what made me chuckle? It's like, you know, obviously we've got a little bit of the stand as a bit of banner, haven't we? Obviously next to the away fans. It made me chuckle that by minute, it just kept getting more and more full.
Yeah, more and more people seem to find their way into that little area of the stadium.
And that was making me chuckle because I'm thinking surely the stewards was go, Joe, what, look, you've got to be in your seat. But the stewards are like, whatever, do you know what I mean? You come up. It was... Hey, look, I'm not one about violence or anything like that, but I didn't have any sympathy towards them, to be honest with you. Yes, they both got flares on. One, they threw their one on and it burnt a hole in the pitch. We don't need that, let's be fair. Do you know what I mean? We can't get enough sunlight on the pitch as it is. But yeah, it just that's what made me chuckle, is that, you know, fans are just tricking along, getting into that corner and making it even worse. But hey, look, you're right. There's no way you could keep trouble. But one thing I will say, we shut them up for long periods in that game. Mm-hmm. It was very quiet in there. But anyway, done now, isn't it? And we wish them all the most unluckiest luck ever going for us this season.
Just one last thing on that group in the East Stand actually showed some football nous at long last, because the main flashpoint in the game came after we stole the ball and then we returned it to the pitch once they were in attacking position, which is just being smart as a group of fans. That's exactly what you should do, and I applaud it. And they obviously, that was the moment, for whatever reason, that was the moment where the Milton Keynes fans couldn't take anymore. No point having netting on the seats if it comes away that easily. What's the point of it?
They were just cutting it little by little. There was probably someone in the crew just cutting it little by little.
It literally wasn't to do anything. It's like someone just with one hand managed to scoop it up and chuck it away. It was like, what's the point of that?
Do you know what's funny though? It's like an old school habit. They obviously, being a new club, do you know what I mean? They have no idea about old habits, do they?
No, this is very true. It says 2004 on their badge. It did rattle them. They were quite rattled at the time because they were losing, of course. But anyway, fuck them. Right, let's have a look at the bottom of League One then. So currently, as you say, Stu, we are 3 points from safety. Goal difference is better than Gillingham's and Morecambe's, but worse than Fleetwood's. Easter Friday, we go to Crewe Alexandra, who have just sacked their manager, or parted company with their manager. I didn't really read in too much, to be honest with you. David Artell has gone. They've lost 15 of their last 16 games. They've got 25 points and are rooted firmly to the bottom of the division and are now officially relegated. So if we don't win this on Friday, we deserve to go down. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, of course. They've lost 29 games this season. Yeah, 29 games.
Wow.
I know,
they still won as many as we have.
Yeah, it's the draws, isn't it? You know, and that's the thing we've seen from our point of view. You know, we've managed to turn wins into draws, which is not the way you want to do it, really. But yeah, I was looking. Do you know what's interesting? In terms of goals, they scored only 18 home goals this season. That's all they've scored. Wow. 10 in the first half, 8 in the second half. Interestingly, we've only scored 18 goals away from home.
Right. So,
there's always goals in it. I think the last 21 games, sorry, last 8 games at Crewe, there's been one goal or more. So this ain't going to be a 0-0. I think that's quite.
Oh, no chance.
I think it's quite sure. We just got to go down and win. I know it sounds simple when you have won for 24 games, but it is very simple. It's a chance for us to do the double. We beat them 3-2 at home, didn't we, midweek from memory?
Yeah.
And I think 3-2 flattered them. We tried our best to. We try the best to let them back in the game, but we could argue they were probably the worst team we've seen, apart from ourselves.
There's no one worse than I've seen. Not even ourselves. At no point have we looked worse than what Crewe looked on that night.
Exactly. Do you know what I mean? So you have to look at it. Of course, some teams, you know, football's a funny old game, believe it or not, and we have seen teams that have been relegated and all of a sudden the pressure's off them. And also we've seen teams that have sacked their manager and the pressure's off them. However, we've got to remember they've lost 29 games. Let's not forget about that. They're not used to winning games. Conceded 78 goals this season as well. So we have to go there and win. I'm not too fussed how we win, if I'm being honest with you. I think if you look at the bottom of the table, I think realistically, Morecambe and Gillingham are the teams to catch, just purely because of the goal difference we've got on them. And we've got to start putting pressure, because I was saying this on Saturday. Not at any point have Gillingham, Morecambe, Fleetwood, Lincoln actually been looking at us as pressure, because we haven't won a game. So they're not, you know, whereas we're going, if we draw, shit, what are Morecambe doing? What are Gillingham doing? Because we know they're picking up points. They're not doing the same, are they? Let's be fair. We've given them nothing to worry about. So we need to put pressure on, not just winning our game, but actually going to them, hey, look, we're still here. And we are due a run, let's be fair. We're due a run of wins. So, Good Friday is winner takes all for us. If we don't win, game over. We don't, as you're right, we don't deserve to stay up. If we can't beat a team that has, let me repeat, lost 29 games.
So if we were to predict the remainder of the League One fixtures featuring the teams at the bottom of the table, Stu, We're going to put that down as plus three to us, yes?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, I'll make a little tally as we go along. So, Stu, I've got all the fixtures from Easter weekend here. Very simply, just going to ask you for a winner or a draw for the following fixtures. Morecambe, first of all, travelling to Charlton.
Charlman.
Gillingham travelling to Cheltenham.
Draw.
And Fleetwood host Oxford.
I see Oxford winning that game.
Okay. Then that takes us to Easter Monday. Morecambe host Portsmouth.
Difficult one because I thought Portsmouth were seeing the season out, but they beat Rotherham, didn't they? 3-0 midweek, which is a bit of a. I know there's been. I know they weren't. I know Pompey fans weren't happy with their performance against Cheltenham, so I'll go for a draw in that game.
And Morecambe to get a point there. We host Wickham and Akinfenwa.
Tough game for us. I get a feeling it'll be a draw.
Okay. So that's that. And then the big one, Gillingham versus Fleetwood.
I see Gillingham winning it.
So do I actually.
I think just because Gillingham at home have deemed them decent, haven't they? And it's is that their last home game? I would have thought. Would that be right, me thinking? Or
No,
no?
they finish at home.
Okay, but I think Gillingham win that.
Okay. Not looking good for Fleetwood at this moment in time. So after the Easter weekend, Stu, if I've got this right, we'll be above Fleetwood and Morecambe.
Yeah, and do you know what? I've been generous in that because I could have just gone. They're going to lose. But if you look at Fleetwood, they're tough games. Tough games. Oxford and Gillingham over an Easter weekend. That's tough.
He is tough.
Oxford top goal scorers, I think, or one of the top goal scorers in this league. And Gillingham, yeah, not going to be a nice. They've got themselves in a great position. I think that if you look at points per game, I think they're like 1.2 points per game, which is double anything else around us in that sort of mini league down the bottom. So if you go look at a team in form, Gillingham are a team in form. If that makes any sense, if you can be in a bottom four.
Yeah, no, yeah, so I know what you mean. They're looking the strongest at the moment. That takes, as we say, that's the Easter weekend. All I'll say is, though, you've got Fleetwood down to get nil pois, but I think it's rare that on these weekends where you have the two games so close together, it's rare you get teams that win or lose both. They normally pick up something, but we shall see.
Yeah, I think, do you know what, I think the difference is though is I don't think Fleetwood have a big squad. That's your problem. Like the Fleetwood last season and the Fleetwood this season is a different beast, isn't it? The funding's absolutely gone from their chairman, and it just doesn't look like that. They're very much a young side as well. So you're right. But I think the games they've got are tough.
Takes on to the penultimate Saturday of the season. Morecambe goes to Milton Keynes.
Oh, okay, I didn't realise that one. Oh, cool. I don't really want even to win. It's gonna be a home win, isn't it?
Gillingham go to Portsmouth.
I think Pompey win that.
Portsmouth got a lot to play for in terms of affecting top and bottom of the table in their main fixtures. We travel to Fleetwood.
Yeah. Well, I think the thing is, if Fleetwood go into it on the form that I'm predicting in terms of getting zilch, I think it's a tough game for them. I think, hey, look, for me to be not biased is not going to happen, is it? Do you know what I mean? But I just think in my head, if we have picked up those points that we need, I think we go there in a strong position. And I would, yeah, I think my head tells me I think we go and win there.
Okay. Right. Fleetwood from there then host Sheffield Wednesday in the week.
Yeah, tough. You can't. Sheffield Wednesday strong. Well, yeah, I think form wise for this half of the season, I think they're probably one of the top teams on form. I can't see anything different than them going there and winning because I think they're going to need that to stay in the playoffs. I know Fleetwood are going to need points to stay out of relegation, but I know who I would rather be in that position. So I think Sheffield Wednesday will win that.
So that will take us into the final day of the season. We'll be on 42, Morecambe on 39, Gillingham on 42, Fleetwood on 38. So it would Fleetwood at this point would be down. So their game against Bolton on the last day would be irrelevant.
Yeah, I know, that'd be lovely. And you know, but predictions are what they are, aren't they? But we said for a little while when we looked at the running on our 9 years TV show, haven't we, that the running actually for us looks okay-ish. And theirs always look dodgy.
It would also pretty much mean Morecambe, with their goal difference, also makes them realistically impossible to overtake us. They host Sunderland. Do you see Morecambe getting anything from Sunderland? Do you get Fleetwood go to Bolton?
Again, I think it's just, you know, Morecambe are always going to be dangerous with Stockton. I don't know if you saw his goal on the weekend. But he might be in a team that's struggling to stay up, but he isn't a person that's struggling to score goals. There's no doubt about that. So I think it's always dangerous when you've got a team. I think out of all the teams around us, Morecambe are the team that's got more chance of getting that sort of, not fluke victory, but, you know, getting a goal out of nothing because of the score they've got. So, hey, look, who they got last game? You say Wednesday, last game of the season?
Sunderland.
It's close, wasn't it?
They both begin with S.
And it's more northern than the other teams, isn't it? So, I'd probably say a draw. Might be a draw. But Morecambe, a team I don't think are going to... If I was going to say there's going to be one team that's got the ability to get out, then it would be them. Just like I say, you can't have second top goal scorer in the league and get relegated. It just doesn't make any sense.
What about, I mean, Fleetwood Bolton would be irrelevant, but do you see them getting anything there?
No, a draw possibly, but it's going to be a dead rubber. It's going to be a dead rubber, isn't it, on that side of it.
Gillingham host Rotherham.
Well, look at it, you know what I mean? Like, look at what we're finishing against. Look at what these teams are finishing against.
Yeah, they've got horrendous run-ins, yeah.
Isn't it? Another tough game. Rotherham have gone through a bit of a lull. First time... Hey, look, teams are going to have a little bit of a disappointing run, and they've had that after they beat Sutton in the Papa John Trophy final, didn't they? So I can't see Rotherham continuing to do that, and I think it's just slightly low. I think they win because the way it is, they're going to need that to put pressure on the top two.
And then for us against Accrington Stanley,
I think if we've got the points that I think we would have got, then I think we control our own destiny, and I think we either draw that or win that. Let's be fair, Accrington are going to be, I was on the beach, but no one's getting away on holiday at the moment, are they? So Accrington are probably going to have a mind of being in Butlins for the weekend, and I don't think they're going to fancy it. If we now control our own destiny by the time we get to Accrington, we'll have a really good crowd, a really good atmosphere. I think Accrington rolled over and get their bellies tickled.
Well, by the end of this, Stu...
I know, I think I've got us staying up by about 10 points, and I
think we are staying up comfortably. It will be Fleetwood on 39, Morecambe on 40, Gillingham on 42, and with 5 points to spare, 45 points, we stay up. Now, last week, Stu, I said we'd win four of our last five fixtures.
Yeah,
and tell me why we won't. Tell me why we won't. Maybe I'll change that to we'll be unbeaten in four of our last five.
There's enough there.
It all hinges on Friday for me. That's the one for me. I think if we win that, safe, lose it, or not fail to win it, trouble.
I agree. And do you know what? For the first time, like I say, I felt we had a bench that could impact things. I know we've discussed that we didn't do much against them, but I think that's just because of the team that they are. But you know, having McCormick coming off the bench, Chislett, who's found a little bit of form, well, he's been allowed to show a bit of form because he's not had much football, and Cosgrove coming in, as much as we, you know, much as there's the jury's out against him, we have to say that, you know, he has the ability to score goals because he's proven that. But I must admit, when you said four out of five, I was a little bit I'm not sure, but that performance on Saturday showed me enough to think, do you know what, if we have to dig in, and we're going to have to dig in and get results, you know, we're not going to get anything given to us cheaply, but I felt there was a team there that could win games 1-0, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? It just felt to me like we're not going to railroad teams because we just haven't got the confidence to do that, but it felt like by every minute we were just getting that little bit more of confidence. We looked structurally good, And I just, I know, if we can't win against, I know we said it, but if it can't beat Crewe, then we don't deserve anything. You know, we don't deserve anything. But it equally, you're right, it sets us up. You know, we win that game, whatever way we win it, I don't care how we win it. Well, actually, no, I do. I'd like an early goal just so we can settle down. But and then we go into Wickham. And we all hate Wickham, don't we? Let's be fair, we all hate Wickham. We haven't got
Do we hate Wickham?
Yeah, it's nice to have a little bit of hatred because we don't really, no one really I don't think anyone dislikes us.
I can't hate Wickham. I really can't hate
Maybe Wickham. Hate's a strong word. Dislike.
Yeah. I don't even really dislike him, to be fair.
But would it take much for the crowd to get up? Like the first time they fall over and roll around, then, you know, we all know Wickham hate staying on their feet. Do you know what I mean? I think they just think they play on an ice rink. But if we don't hate them, we need to hate them. Because we need to hate everyone that comes to play our lane because they've got 3 points that we need. So, you know, that's what I felt that atmosphere on Saturday. There was something in that, wasn't there? Of course there was. But I also think it drove the team as well. And we have, as fans, we have a big role to play. We've got 2 home games to help the team get across that line.
Which we're going to do comfortably by your predictions. So, listeners, don't even bother watching them. Don't even bother because we're staying up comfortably by 5 points. Easily, it's not even. I mean, in fairness, you do look at the fixtures the other teams have got, and you go, "Ooh,
yeah." And I think we've looked at that. You know, we've had the run in for the last couple of shows, haven't we? And we've all said, look, if you look at our fixtures, if we can just stay in touch with these teams, they've got a hell of a rubbish finish. You know, Fleetwood away, Accrington at home. I'm not being funny. I'd rather have that than, you know, some of the fixtures that Fleetwood have got and so forth. So. Hey, look, we've had a rubbish season, but we're still only 3 points away from safety, which is ridiculous. Like, there's someone up there saying that, you know what, you should never get relegated. Someone's helping us.
Do you know, we do have to just be mindful that at this stage of the season, you do get those funny results. Who'd have thought a few years back we'd go to Luton and get a point? And we were holding on for that. We were holding out for, in the end, that 0-0 at Bradford because of Southend, if you remember, they beat Sunderland on the last day of the season. And they could well have, one saw that coming. So, you know.
That's really weird, right? Because I watched the highlights of Stockport beat Southend. I think, was it 4-0 or 5-0?
5-0.
Like, the team that Stockport have got, absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous. And I was just sitting there thinking, Southend is a story, isn't it? It's like, look at Stan Collymore's back involved at Southend. We were in the old Championship, weren't they? And we went to Southend sometimes. They had a decent team. We now know why, because they weren't paying their tax bill. But you now look at Southend and what a change.
It shows you how things in football can change. I mean, blimey, Kwesi Appiah scoring goals still in the Football League.
Doing well.
Anyway, we're not going to get onto that now. Yeah, we won't get onto that now. But,
who would have thought we needed a goal scorer?
Well, no. That has been our problem, hasn't it? Isn't that our problem in a nutshell?
Yeah.
Just one thing before we finish up, because you mentioned Sheffield Wednesday, who have got a couple of games left against teams around us, a big game against Fleetwood in the final week of the season. I did have to laugh on the Saturday doing the 9 year show where George was avoiding saying the opposition's name in full, so decided to make it consistent, he would do the same for every other team in the division. But it works for Cheltenham. You can get away with saying Cheltenham without saying Town. You can get away with Lincoln without saying City. You can get away with Plymouth without saying Argyle. You can't just say Sheffield.
No.
That doesn't work. It's like saying, and then on Saturday we play Manchester. It just doesn't work with certain clubs. So I did have to a little wry smile at that one.
Do you know what was interesting? I think Hannah Kitchell on the Don's Trust board, I think she was up for Sheffield. I think she stayed up for Sheffield. Because I noticed on her Twitter she did, she was saying at old school ground, so she had a picture of Sheffield. I think Sheffield United played on a Sunday or Monday. And showed a picture of the ground, like proper old school. And it is, you know, it's the old Steel City, isn't it? But both of their grounds are proper, like, old school grounds, aren't they, in terms of big stands. And yeah, I like that. So, yes, you know, Sheffield, you have to distinguish between the two teams, but both got proper old school grounds, aren't they?
We're going to miss these grounds. We're going to miss these stadiums. They're not the same, these new ones. They all look the same. They're all horrendous and horrible.
Do you notice Sutton are doing their ground up? I don't know if I was watching the highlights, and they've, you know, the goal, you know, the behind the away end, they've literally got one literally
which
halfway
one's the away
down
end?
To the left of the camera if you're looking from camera, you're to the left.
Right. Or we'll the call that the Frankie Howard Surrey Senior Cup semi-final winning goal end.
Possibly, I can't remember.
The one nearest the road, the main road.
No, main it's the other one. It's the one nearest the park is the away end.
What? I'm so confused.
So you know if you're in the main... Anyone that doesn't know Sutton, this means nothing, but yeah.
If you're sat in the main stand, the away end's to your right.
That's right, yeah. So what they've done, they've got half a stand now that goes to the halfway, where the goal is, with seats, and they're doing up the other bit now. So it's, they're obviously making plans. You know, if you think about it, the first season, they had to dig up their pitch. And now they're making their ground more for a league standard. It's mad, isn't it? Because Sutton are comfortably staying up, possibly could get in the playoffs.
Where's the money coming from?
Isn't it weird, don't it? You're right, because like, I'm hearing they're being run very well in terms of...
I'm sure they are. I've got
Then whenever you see a team do so well, your natural thing is, where's the money coming from? Isn't it weird, isn't
well,
it?
Just
that's what
just
you associate,
well,
isn't it?
You do well. I just don't know. I mean, I don't know if in terms of stadium improvements and things like that. I don't know if they're getting money from. Does the old Football Foundation still give out grants for stadium works and stuff like this? So
possibly
could be all that sort of thing going on. I just don't know.
Possibly. Just don't know. I suppose from a local point of view, I've got Sutton are a local club. It's in a way it's nice. Just don't want them getting above their station. Stay where they are. We're the better team in South London. So yeah, but it's nice to see that they're progressing.
Mm-hmm. So no real.
Looks like whatever.
I just don't really care about Sutton, to be honest with you. Sutton United were the team that, when we were in the Premier League, our reserves played at Gander Green Lane, and we had a little column in the programme saying how they're getting on in the deep, distant bottom realms of the conference, the Vauxhall Conference, as it was at the time.
It's mad. Yeah. I remember going to King's Meadow for a pre season friendly. I think we won 4-5.
Won 5-0.
It's just, it shows your football can change so quickly. Can change so quickly before you know it.
Yes. And sometimes change is good, but really change is not good. I see 5 subs is going to come in as well next.
I try not to tell you. I didn't want to get you into like that self-combust sort of state.
It's like, what's the point? Just make it basketball. Pointless.
Do you know what someone was saying in a Football League paper? They were saying, right, that actually, we talk about like legends, like who, you know, we would love to see them, but they haven't got the fitness anymore. There was a thing going around that, like, you know, you could have a luxury sub who really can't play 90 minutes but could come on for the last 10, like a golden oldie. So I was thinking, like, if we had a golden oldie, who would we want as the golden oldie? Like Danny Kedwin?
Darius Charles.
But you got me, who would be your golden oldie? If we could have like golden oldie who could literally come off for 10 minutes because it's a 5 sub rule, who would you have? John Main? Danny Kedwell?
No, you'd have someone who's great with set pieces.
Well, Akin Fenn was doing it at the moment. Let's be fair, Akin Fenn was doing it at the moment. He's only playing about 10 minutes for Wickham.
Yeah, does a job.
Yeah, but 5 subs. Yeah, 5 subs have come in.
Who would be our set piece taker? Because that's who I'd have. Like honestly, if you could have David Beckham on the bench, who could come in for the last 10 minutes, you'd literally bring him on, and you just get him to take free kicks and corners.
Yeah.
And in the history of AFC Wimbledon, who was our best
George Franklin
set piece taker? Probably was George Franklin.
Just to annoy people.
Callum Kennedy.
I don't think we've ever had an outstanding set-piece taker. We've not had one that you go, do you know what? You can put a ball on someone there from... I don't think we've ever really had that.
We have. Do you know what? And you know who this person would be?
Hmm?
Neil Ardley.
Hey, there you are.
Yeah.
Hey, look, maybe you could have like sub-managers. He could be our sub-manager. Comes into the box, goes into the area for 10 minutes. Sorry. Do you know what? In my head, I was looking at the conference table because obviously our season finishes quite early compared to a lot. Still quite a lot of games to go in the conference. And like Solihull Moors are sitting at fourth. And I'm thinking, that manager, they're so lucky. Like, how lucky can you be as a manager to keep producing these teams?
Anyway. I'll tell you, very, very lucky manager. I mean, how lucky must you be to still have the highest finish as an AFC Wimbledon since 2002? And have we finished above? Have we ever finished high? No.
No.
Or have we got progressively worse ever since he left? Anyway.
But Neil Ardy's set piece taker. I'm liking that. What is he, 14?
Yeah.
But anyway, look. See, you're already, I can tell you're already embracing the five sub rule.
No, fuck that. It's bollocks. It's bullshit. It's the same bullshit where you see Chelsea playing in Real Madrid in yellow. I'm like, nonsense. And also the Champions League, the European, sorry, quick rant though, this is European Super League. Well done, all those Premier League, all those fans of those big Premier League teams. They said, look, we care about the Premier League. We're going to protest against it. It's never going to happen. Look how great we are. Clap, 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 clap. What absolute bollocks, because you're all now going to be in this new Champions League where you get qualified automatically anyway, where you're going to have, what is it, 10 guaranteed fixtures in some sort of group stage before. The European Super League is already here. It's already here. So spare me.
And also qualification based on historical performance. So does that mean, right, that we get into the third round of the FA Cup because of our performance previously in the FA Cup?
100%. Right? As previous past winners, we should do, shouldn't we?
Exactly. So we should also get a bye. So thank you very much if the rules are consistent.
Yeah.
Can I just say quickly, I didn't watch the Chelsea game, but I watched the beginning, if that makes any sense, just because we were turning over. And I noticed that they had netting on the opposite the camera, that like, literally, and then behind the goal. What's that all about?
No, I don't know. I wondered that. I saw it in the news this morning. It was like lower tier had all been sort of covered over, and I don't know.
I thought it might be a massive advertising board, because you notice like the advertising boards have got so much bigger now, haven't they?
Yeah.
Like doubled in height. I'm thinking, are they use just weird, like the game is for fans. Let the fans in, do you know what I mean? Like it's, yeah, anyway.
Must be some reason.
Anyone knows, let us know.
You know what? There's another team in this country that play in all white that have nobody sat in the lower tiers of their stadium, but you know. We won't talk about them anymore this week. Crew on Friday. I'm not going to lie to you, Stu. It's a game we should and must win. I have no interest whatsoever in following it because I just want to look at the score at 5 o'clock and see that we've won it. So I'm not sure I'm going to pay any. I think I'm going to turn all my phone off. I'm going to turn everything off. I'm just going to sit and watch a film for a couple of hours and then check the score at 5 o'clock because it's one of those weird ones, isn't it? Because it's not only must win, but it is really, really should win. There isn't a there's no real winning this fixture, is there? If you win it, right, well, that's right. We should be winning this game. It's only a game that you can lose. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, you're right. Even with our form, our form, which is terrible, is a game we should win. So you're right. Yeah, I wish I could do that. I wish I could just switch off and not. But I just want to watch. I hate it. I mean, a couple of times when I remember Ginningham, we won 4-3, and I was out with my wife and. From memory, I think we just lost signal or something. We were somewhere I couldn't get signal. And then literally looked at the score and see we won 4-3 and then went back on Twitter to see the score lines. And do you know what I mean? And I was just like, wow, what a game to miss. But could I have sat through it? Probably not. So, yeah, let's hope it isn't a game that we are literally, you know, I'm watching and I've got my hands over my eyes and praying. Let's just hope it's a comfortable win, whatever win. 3-4, 5-0, don't care. Just win.
Sam Cosgrove with 2 goals. You heard it here first.
Could happen.
Could happen. Could happen. He's not as bad as people make out.
No, I think we're so defeatist, aren't we? Every player is the worst player we've ever seen in history. And every person we got in that team, the finisher coach, the substitution coach, and they're all just perfect people. We're just, yeah.
It's like our SLOs.
Our lovely volunteers.
Which, as people will know, my tongue is firmly in my cheek when I say that, as I'm sure you're well aware of as to why, if you're listening. But anyway, enough of that. Thank you for joining me this week, Stu.
No problem at all. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Alexa Bliss, congratulations on your wedding. Don't really know what her husband sees in her, to be honest.
Did she win it? Did she win the wedding?
I'm not going to say anything about tapping Alexa Bliss. But anyway, 2 plus 2 equals 4, bag first, middle, last, all that gumph. We will speak to you again next week.